start.
10:35. 10:30. The place is Lansdale, Pennsylvania. The interviewers will be Mr. Lance Metz, Mr. Howard Swope. The interviewee will be Mr. James Brown, who was a canal boatman on the Lehigh, Delaware, and Morris canals. We're going to try and ask some questions about what life was like on the canal.
Say the Raritan Canal.
Raritan Canal.
I didn't boat. I just went over on the Mars.
Just went over on the Mars.
I didn't boat.
Didn't boat. Okay. We're going to try and find out as much as we can about Mr. Grouse. Sorry.
What? Did y'all talk?
Yeah, I just did finish what you were going to say about the Mars.
I said I just was over on the Mars. That's all. Didn't boat on it.
You didn't take any trips on the Mars?
I went one trip, but that's enough. I didn't go. I didn't like it. See, and I
okay.
left.
Okay.
Well,
but, that's we'll get into that in a second. Okay. Mr. Brown, how old are you?
I'll be 82 in August. 82 in August.
No.
82
in
August.
82 in August.
What's your birthday?
8th of August. I was born in 1900.
1900.
8th of August, month of August.
Where were you born?
Bristol, Pennsylvania.
Okay. What were your parents' names?
Philip Brown. Philip and Ellie. My mother was named Ellie Brown, and my father was named Philip Brown.
What did your father do for a profession?
He worked for a butcher.
Worked for a butcher.
Yeah, so he helped the butcher, just saying that worked with one of his.
Okay. Did he spend, did he work that all of his life? That was his job?
As I know, because I was a little boy. See, I was the youngest of the family.
Okay.
And I didn't know now. When I got this side, I know he was a little butcher. I used to run getting the butcher wagon.
Oh, would you hide there?
Hide there and get out in the country. You know, them days they went out in the country and brought stuff.
Right.
And kill them. They don't do like that.
Right.
They kill them themselves.
When did you first become interested in the canal?
Well, as far as I know, it was around, I'll say 8 or 9 years old, somewhere in there. I'd been going to school.
Did you like school?
No, I didn't like school. I went in one door and out the other. I know more than the teachers did.
You probably did about life in general.
Huh?
You probably did about life
but
in general.
But I got slew because I had it here, but,
right.
You know, when you tell me something or he tell me, I never forget it.
That's the most important thing.
And I didn't have no education. Most of the people that helped me out.
Right.
And I had friends, and I would went to school with a copy. I was a great copy.
Right. You can learn from other people.
I learned from other people. And if you'd ask me something or tell me something, I didn't forget it.
Okay.
And I run off. I really didn't go to school anymore, so I run off from home.
Okay. Why'd you run off?
Well, I seen these mules. They look little. That's how little they look. And I said, hey, mister, I don't know who the boatman was, but it was the boatman. He said, you want a job? I said, yeah, come on. I went with him. And we went on up, and I never come back to Bristol till I come halfway to Bristol, and then I stayed at a lot tender there.
Right.
Head of the 2 mile level.
Right.
Till the boat came back and they were going. My father didn't have enough money to hunt me.
So
because he took money, you know.
Was he worried about you?
Yeah. But I never got back till they found out if they went, my nieces come across the canal, you know, the lot.
Right.
From work. And they seen me. They went home and told their mother. Said, that's where he is? Yeah. That was 2 or 3 years after. I seen Uncle Jimmy, they say. Oh, he's on the canal. Well, then. Somebody told me, some of my relations said they had the cops to hunt. I just flew the cook. If they wouldn't have told me that, he's going to put me in a home, Mother Catholic home.
Right.
I heard tell I had friends in there. My cousin said, you don't want to go there. They do this to you, they do that, put you in closets and everything, if you don't mind, you know? So I got scared. I run away from home. They wouldn't have told me that. I would have never left home.
Okay.
So I boat with people for my board and clothes and tobacco. Because I chewed when I was a kid. I chewed that.
They pay any money?
No, give me spend money, but no wages them days.
Who was the name of your first captain, you remember?
Well, my first captain was, he was my captain. I come up the canal with Skookalelic.
Skookalelic.
Yeah, that was her cousin. He was from... Skookalelic was from below Philly, around the Schuylkill's. He was boating. He had nobody to help him.
Did he have a company boat or he have his own
boat?
Company boat. Was it a stiff boat or a section boat?
No, a section boat. They had some stiff boat. A lot of captains didn't. I didn't need it like a stiff boat. Because a section boat, you could turn around anywhere. You
right.
Don't hinge it and what on a stiff boat, you got to have the big water. That's the way it went.
Okay.
And I voted with him to the bridge thing. Down there, Rabbit Run Bridge.
Rabbit Run Bridge.
Down in 7 Mile Island.
Okay.
Below Center Bridge.
Right.
Hit him, rolled him over. He didn't get down low enough. You know, them bridges were slow, some of them. And the nut caught him back there.
Ooh.
And it knocked him, rolled him over. Well, then we stopped, and then we had to get his father-in-law. That was her uncle.
How bad was he hurt?
Well, it hurt him too bad. It took him to the hospital, and he died.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah, the bridge that hit you here. It hit him around here.
Ooh.
And it kept rolling him over the boat, see?
Yep.
And the boat gone yet. That's what did it. Took him right overboard. And that nut, a big nut hangs down the
I've
bridge.
Seen him, right.
Like that. And the boat, if we always went in between the nuts. But some people wouldn't watch what they're doing. The nuts go right over the wet over you. And that's Tim. Well, then I voted with her uncle. Run the boat till we got the mules paid off.
How much it cost you for the mules?
Well, I bought them. I don't know. I was a kid them days, you know.
Okay.
You bought them by two together, you know. Maybe. Them days, I imagine it would have cost you around, maybe $7.50, $8.50 for a good team of mules. Young. There's only three and 4 years old. There wasn't no old mules. And the rig, you buy that yourself, the ropes and the stuff. And all the company furnish you with the boat. You know, rig. You gotta have ropes and cooking utensils and all that stuff. Well, he had it, his father-in-law run the boat. He asked me, would I help him? I said, yeah.
What was his name?
Jeff Nace.
Jeff Nace.
That was her uncle.
Okay.
And we went on. Then I left. After that, I left. I had to get the mules paid off. Then I went with John Free. Then I met her uncle, Charlie Cole, down Point Pleasant, down Center Bridge.
But what year would this be about?
When?
When you met Charlie Cole.
Oh, that was, I was about 10 years old then.
About 1910?
1910. And he said, her cousin knowed me good, Ray Dye. He said, Jimmy, you know Uncle Charlie, always called him Uncle Charlie, and Addy. I said, yeah, I know him, because he used to give me quarters once in a while. Because I played around with their kids, you know. So I said, yeah. He said, he wants to come up on the farm with him. I said, where is his farm? He said, outside of Point Pleasant. I said, all right. I said, well, you tell him I will sometime. I didn't want to leave down there because it's all my friends. But anyhow, he took me up there in 1913, that's the way it was, to Point Pleasant. The river and everything was up high. We went from rock to, I'd get up, he'd get me on a rock, and then he'd get up on the rock, and then I'd hold my hand up, and he'd pull me up on that rock. And that's the way it got until we got to Point Pleasant. Then we had to go up over the hill, because we used to go up the creek, Hickam Creek, but we couldn't go up the creek with a pass to go up there. We went over the hill.
You would take a boat up the creek?
No, I was going up to work for her uncle.
Oh, I see, right.
Go boating with Charlie Cole. I threw a boat with
him. Gotcha.
Boated with him a good many years.
Gotcha.
And then he quit boating. So then I boated with John Free. No, I got with Bill Staley, Eulertown Lodge. Got with them. When you go along with them, well, you see a guy like I see one of you, and you want to drive, right? Help, that's right. Then I stay with you.
How much would you pay? How much those guys pay you?
Oh, maybe $10 a month on my board.
$10?
While they're boating. Then they give me my, I stayed with them. They give me my winter's board and everything.
Did you ever stay on a boat during the wintertime?
Yes, I stayed on the boat two times. Once in Bridgeton, Pennsylvania, and once in Point Pleasant. I lived on the boat.
Who do you live with in Bridgeton?
On my own boat.
On your own boat, Bridgeton?
Yeah, I had a boat there. I was boating for myself. No, I was boating with John Free then, and then I bought my own boat. And then I took the boat, didn't buy the boat, I bought the rig out. And then I stayed there over winter, you know, Bridgeton, Pennsylvania.
Was it rough staying in the boat over the winter?
No, it's nice. Them boats is good. They was caulked, you know, and they're good. You'd have a stove, a little boatman's choice here, and if you want it hot, that thing would get hot because it didn't have much of a damper. Boatman's choice don't have. Maybe one damper. Unless you had it in the pipe. Sometimes we'd have one in the pipe to keep the heat from going up so fast. But when you burnt the gas, when you put coal on stuff, you'd turn that damper so the gas would go out.
Where'd you get the coal from?
Lehigh Company give us coal. Give anybody coal. We always store coal for the winter. See? Okay. We're going to stay on the boat.
Where'd you store it, on the boat?
Yeah, or some lot tender we know, they give us a place to put it. We'd give them some too, but we'd go there and get it for ourselves.
Would you, what would you have on your bunk? What kind of mattresses? Straw?
Straw or mattress.
Straw
and
mattress.
A blanket.
Blanket.
And a straw. And a table drop down, when you fold, drop down tables.
Right.
And the bunks. And we had our clothes, suitcases.
Did the boats leak at all during the wintertime, or they just froze?
No. The decks we always kept good. See, it always had water. When we're empty, we always flowed water around. That kept your deck from drying out.
Kept it tight.
Tight. And the other side, well, when you get loads on, you'd be so long with that load on, the time you unload it, it never dry out till you get another one. But over winter, see, we laid some of them. Bill Licklatter laid with me up here at Bridgeton.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Point Flood, I didn't have anybody
mm-hmm.
to lay side of. But Point, Bridgeton, Pennsylvania, Bill Licklatter and me was friends, see? And he laid by the side of me. He's outside and I was the inside. I had the best of him. And he'd get up in the morning, he got up early, cooked some bucket cakes and sausage. He'd tell the kids, here, take that over to Mr. Brown. And they'd come to the boat. If I had the slide in where you put down in front of the cabin, sometimes I didn't. If I did, they'd kick it with their feet. I said, who's there? The boy said, Pop sent you some sausage and buckwheat cakes. And I'd go, there I had my breakfast. He was a great man. Bill Licklatter. Well, Sam was good, too. They were both nice. Out back of Bridgeton. But Sam, Bill Licklatter, he didn't stay home on what's matter. He had two boys there and him. We made the winter out.
Where'd you get your water from when you boated? When you
well, there at John Freed's, he had plenty of water. He had a store there.
We'd get
to drink.
Drink.
Yeah. And we'd get water to wash. We can catch that. We always had foot tubs and stuff. When it rained, we always caught water to do other things with. But to drink, they'd give us some. Anybody would give you, you know. It would give you water to drink. And it was only me, so nobody but me on the boat, so didn't take too much water. And then, of course, I was younger then, I drank beer in the place of water. Beer. Sometimes old John Free always had beer or whiskey around. And I was a terrible rummy. I drank rum on alcohol, canned heat. I boated, you know, and had another boatman from up the Lehigh. He boated with me.
Remember his name?
He was Salty Black, that's his name, was it?
Salty Black.
Salty Black, he was from, maybe you heard of him. I saved his boy from drowning one time in Bristol.
How'd that happen?
Well, I had quit boating for a while. I was down in Bristol and hadn't walked down to the lower end of the lock, the basin. I was going down to see. I know some boats laying down there, getting ready to change their boat and come back, but they're staying there. It was on a Saturday. So I went down and I seen this white-headed boy. This white head thing, one didn't know it was a boy. And I said, gosh, that looked like a boy. And when I reached over to get him, and he damn near pulled me, and he was just about for me, I could reach him. And I got him, the only thing I'd get him, the top of the head. He had a lot of hair on his head. I got the top of his head, and I got him over to the side of the, and I took him down to his father. I told him, he was playing along there, and he fell in. He was only a boy about that size. And his father, they went on to tell about me saving his life. Well, he'd have drowned it because nobody there and he couldn't swim. And the old man Salty, that's his name. Salty Black, I'll never forget him.
Was he a drinker?
Yeah, he drank, but he was sober then. But the boy, just playing around, the boy would play around, no other boys with him. Nobody would know he was in there if I wouldn't walk down Topaz and see him. And I took him down to his father.
Did you ever boat with Salty Black?
No, I boat company with him, in company, his boat and my boat, but I right. never boated with him. He had a son, too, boated.
Okay.
Clarence. But that's the way, and then I went boating again. I'd quit a while and go back a while.
Because
but
you
then when I was thriving, I wouldn't run. When I run the boat, I stayed till it got open.
Howard, do you have any questions you want to ask him for a while?
No, go ahead.
You sure?
But I know these fellas. I'll tell you how I know these guys. You see, we lots of times the orders would be slack. Well, I'd like the boat to get like that up there, waiting to get up.
Up at Laurie's?
No, up at Machunk.
Up at Machunk.
Where you load. At the chutes. And we'd get, or wherever they'd be, they'd stop most of these two or three boats. Well, then the drivers would get together and shoot the boat. So that's three. That's how I know these guys are there. But you know, I forgot their names. That's the only thing. Because I hadn't seen them. When I know the young fellas, of course, I was older than them, but they didn't know a darn bit different how old I was. And I didn't know how old they were. Mm-hmm. Of course, they got married, grew up, got married. Well, then I hadn't seen them. When they were hunting me, well, I couldn't hunt them because I ain't got no car.
Gotcha.
And they could hunt me, but I thought they'd come sooner when I lived in Point Pleasant. And this one did, but the rest didn't.
Okay. You were telling me a story now. Well, you said, let's get back to the Morris Canal for a minute.
Yeah.
Why'd you decide to go over in the Morris Canal?
I was with John Haynes, see? He, him and his wife. And I met him in Allentown. And he had no driver. So I had quit a guy, see? Pearson. I had quit Pearson. So I said to him, I'll help you make that trip. Well, he said, I'm going over on the Morris Canal. Well, I said, okay. We went over in the Morris Canal. He tied up the boat there at Easton. And we went over in the Morris Canal and he got a boat over there. Because they couldn't run these boats over the Morris Canal because these were different boats, bigger boats and everything. In the Morris Canal, some of them boats didn't even have a lid on them.
Right. Did they have a lot of boats to be gotten over there in the Morris Canal?
Cool.
Did they have a lot of boats?
Yeah,
still running?
Anybody. They wanted.
They wanted drivers.
Boatmans. Mm-hmm. They wanted boatmen, captains. You know.
Right.
But they couldn't get no captains over there because that nobody liked that much. They liked the Morris Canal. They liked the Delaware and the Lehigh.
Why did they like the Morris Canal?
Well, you go so far. Maybe you go from here. From here to Dolphtown or something like that. Then you got to go over that doggone thing.
That plains.
Yeah. And then your mules and driver goes on and follows till the boat comes off. And the drivers didn't like it because lots of times if they stop that thing up there, you got to wait and maybe you're hungry and can't get no. When you boat it on the Delaware, I could get on the bridges or any place, stop gates or any place you could. Run your boat right over and get on it. But you couldn't do that over the Mars. Wasn't no like stop gates.
Okay. So your captain got a boat in Peaburg, right?
Yeah.
And his name again was?
John Hand.
John Hand. Yeah. So you started out from Peaburg. What were you loaded with?
Oh, I don't know what you had now. I think it was coal.
Coal.
Yeah. I don't know what else they boated over there, but only I ever seen in them was coal.
What did you think when you hit your first plane? Were you fascinated by it?
Well, when I hit the first plane, I thought it was like a lock first. Till I seen this thing go on, and then stop, and then this thing went up over and took them right out of the water. The lock didn't do that.
Right.
The lock, you pull the levers, you go in the lock, you shut the gates, and they pull the levers with the way you're supposed to go down or up.
Right.
And, but that was different from that. And then you go on, take the driver, take the mule, the captain tell you going down as far as the plane went. See? But I didn't like it. I come back, I didn't know nobody over there where the Lehigh and the Delaware, Lehigh and Delaware, I know all of them.
Did you take the trip all the way through on the Mars?
No, I only went so far. Plane.
How far did you go on the Mars?
Oh, I didn't go far. I was about from Easton here.
Did you go down as far as Newark?
Yeah.
You went as
far as Newark.
You went as far as Newark?
Yeah.
And then,
I quit.
Then you quit. How did you get back? Did you get a ride back on another boat?
I hitchhiked.
You hitchhiked back?
Yeah, with other people. With people I didn't know. I got back to Phillipsburg. That's all I wanted to get.
Was there a lot of boats on the Morris Canal when you were running, or just a few?
Just a few now and then. One like the Delaware to Lehigh. They had boats going and ding-a-ling all the time. You could easily get a boat, you know.
How much were you paid working on the Morris that one
day? I didn't get paid anything. I just helped him.
He's helping.
A poor guy.
Yeah.
He's a rummy anyhow.
He stay on the Mars?
I got drink. Yeah, he stayed over. I never seen him in a while.
He was a rummy?
Him and his wife, both rummies. When they eat, they'd have a dryer get a kettle of beer wherever you, them days you could buy a kettle like that with beer and put in it. Get in the kettle and you go home. You would either go to the boat and you drink that like coffee. That mean I didn't like it. He never had no coffee. He'd drink beer in the place of coffee.
Okay.
He said beer was cheaper. Them days, beer was cheaper.
Better beer, too.
Yeah, better beer and everything. I liked it, but I got to be a regular boozeheiser. Boating with people like that.
Did you really drink
canned tea? Yeah, I drank up to 57.
Did you really drink canned tea?
Yeah, I drank canned. Well, I had Solly Black. That's how I got acquainted with him. We was coming up, his boat, we went to Bristol, and he was coming up, and we come up together. And we went down together, and we come back. He said, Jimmy, come on back. We had our boats hooked together like this. I had a rope on my, from his bow to my stern, see. And his mules was on my boat, see. That's the way we come up. All them, like the 11-mile level, and the 9-mile level, and all them, you could do that. But you had no locks.
Right.
So he said, come on back. I could jump from here to his boat.
Right.
You know, and he said, come on back. He said, you want a drink? Yeah. We had no drink. I said, yeah. Come on back and give you something. I went back and had a rice pudding pan and had the stuff in it. It looked like strawberry juice. I said, what the hell is that you got, man? Where'd you get that? Oh, he said, this is good. Taste it. I tasted no taste to it. Bitter. Well, I said, oh, he said, drink, take a drink. I took a half a glass. Oh, I said a half a glass of tea. I didn't want no more. Boy, that was terrible. He said, you know what this is? I said, no, I don't know what takes it is. It's canned heat. I never. Then he had rubbing alcohol one time. Oh, I said, where'd you get that? He said, this, oh, I got it from my legs. He said, you can drink this. He said, put some water in it, it'll be all right. Well, we had nothing to drink. No money, so I drank that. And that, people say, well, you smell like rubbing alcohol. Yeah, I got a bad leg. He had no bad leg. Here's the leg he had. Boatman's was something.
What you talking about? Let's talk about the food. What did you eat when you worked, usually?
Well, we had, like, ham and cabbage, fried potatoes, eggs, and bacon. We had good eating. We didn't have no oven, so we had to fry or boil.
You bought them from the stores along the way?
Well, we bought it. We wanted, see, we could keep eggs. Oh, a dozen eggs wouldn't last long. Ham you could keep. You put it in your oats. And one time I had a ham in the oats, and Skippers was running over. I met her uncle come down to Point Pleasant to me.
What was his name?
Charlie Cole.
Charlie Cole.
Charlie Cole, and he says, of course, I voted with him the one time. I said, Uncle Charlie, I always call him Uncle Charlie. I wasn't married into her, but I called him out anyway. I said, Uncle Charlie, look at this ham. Well, it's Skippers. Oh, he says, that's all right.
What are Skippers?
Well, there's some kind of a bug crawls over to all of your food like that. They call them Skippers. They didn't get into it because the ham had a cover on it.
Right.
But they get in the oats, right? The oats.
Right.
They run all over the ham, and I thought, well, I wouldn't eat that because them Skippers. They call them Skippers, some kind of little bug. So he said, no, that's all right. He said, if you don't want it, I'll take it home. Ain't Addie, his wife, Adelaide. He said, Adelaide would keep it and cook it. I cooked it, boiled it, washed it off, put it in the pot, and put some cabbage with it. It's all right. But that's the way we had. We had good stuff.
Did you take your stove from the cabin up on the top deck during the summertime?
Summertime, yeah. We didn't have. See, I had this. When I went to Bristol to my sister's, after I got 21, got rum in the boat. I didn't get no boat anyhow. I was 21. So they'd make me fried chicken. Her aunt would make me fried chicken to take along. We'd just take enough that we could, me and the driver, would eat it. Up. But you couldn't keep nothing on the boat like that. One time I made taters and dough. And I forgot to put baking powder in it, and I had my nephew with it. That's what them guys had. I want to see that picture. That when I'm the only colored man that I ever know that had a little boy with him himself. Any colored, well, most of them colored hat was on there. They had a white color with them. But this here fella of me, with me and them, with them, not with the hack, with the company boat. I didn't have him with hacky boats. I had him with a company boat.
What was his name?
John Long, his name.
And he was your nephew?
Yeah, well, my sister married a Jack Long, see.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I had four and one brother.
Four sisters and one brother.
Yeah.
Were you the youngest or the oldest?
I'm the youngest.
Okay.
They're all dead but me.
When your parents first saw you after you'd run away, how did they react?
That was my sisters. My mother died when I was a little baby.
Mother died?
I never known my mother.
What did your father say when he saw you after you ran away?
Well, he was dead and buried. See, they called me up. I was up in Muchunk. And they called there. They got with Terry Donnelly down Bristol Basin. And they called there and they connected. he connect up, he called my chunk, and he said, yeah, Jimmy Brown's up there, he's voting with John Tier.
Terry Donnelly, he worked for the company?
Yeah, he was a Buffett man.
Okay.
Bristol, down the basin.
Right.
Down the, what, at the mouth of the river.
Right.
At the office, they, with the office there.
Right.
And I said, well, they told me about it. I couldn't go, I had no money, and had no clothes. I caught up there, when you're boating on the Lehigh, you got dirty. I was dirty and everything. Oh, I said, I thought about it, and then it was too far from the, these people I boated with, they had no money to send me. And I was only getting about $10 a month, maybe $5 a month, but I wasn't getting too much. And I used the money up, everything I seen, I won it. So I didn't have no money, so it went on to find me a boy like me, I forget all about it. When I got to Bristol, when I went into Bristol, I was 21. They couldn't do nothing. Couldn't put me in a home or anything like that. And I went to see them. They told me. Well, I said, I'm sorry. I said, but he'd have done right. My father didn't do right. He was having a good time after my mother died. And he just leave me with this and that. And some woman he left me with. She was a slavery in down south. And I left her. She said I was going to use me like they used them down south, so I left them. So after me, I went boating. So I got, them people used me good, all the boatings did. Some of them, when I was with Staley at Eulertown Lock, they were treating me just upstairs with them. Just, John Free kept me wet and room with the boys. He had two boys, George and Howard, and we was always together. Even went to Catholic church. They were Catholics. I went to Catholic church with them. But that's the way I got along. As I come up, then the Lehigh Company started me. I said, well, I'll buy John Free. I told John Free I wasn't doing nothing. I was riding along with him from Bristol. I said, I'll buy it. But I said, maybe I ain't got no money. Maybe the Lehigh Company won't let me. He said, yes, they will. Went up there and they said, yes. He voted all this time. He knows it was. John Free thing, take a boat wherever I can, so I could.
What year was that you bought John Free out?
Oh, I don't know. See, I was about 21, 22. I must have been in 1910, 1911, 1912. That must have been way up in 1913 or 14, 15 years. I was about 15 years old, 1950. See, I went with a year. I do, yeah.
Okay.
See, I'll be 72 or 82 August. So as the years go along, I go. That's one reason they could take care of me.
Because you were born with the century.
Yeah, born with the century.
Okay, a couple questions. You talked about clothes. What kind of clothes did you wear when you boated?
I'm an overhaul and shirt. You know, blue overhaul. I liked it. And a shirt, blue shirt, that's all right. What? Sometimes I went barefooted, sometimes I put the shoes on.
What kind of shoes? Big, heavy work shoes? Or?
No. Sometimes I used to use these here, and I hated them, sneakers. They make your feet stink so much. But I used to use low quarters like these.
Right.
And, you see, most of the time I went barefoot. I run out of views.
Did you wear a hat usually?
Yeah, I wore a cap, and I lost more caps than a little. So I'd get on the mule, and I'd fall asleep. I used to wear a hat, and then I got on the mule, laying between the things, you know.
Right.
The darn hat would fall off. I'd always get in a hat or a cap. And then I got, so I went in the summer, I went without any.
Wow.
Because I'd get on the mule and fall asleep. The captain said, hey, Jim. Some captain said, hey, Jimmy, you on the mule? I said, no. He said, well, won't you get on? I am on. He said, get the hell off the mule. That's what the boat was doing. They foxy. See, they said that. Jim, are you on the mule? I say, yeah. He said, no. I say, I'm off. He said, why don't you get on? And then I say, I am on. He said, get off the mule. A lot of captains didn't like you to ride the mule.
Right.
But I did. Charlie Cole and different ones like that didn't care. I know you're a little boy. I had a mule. I worked with Bill Staley one time. He had a gray mule. One black, one, the leader was a bay mule, and the high mule was a gray mule. And that mule was tall. Well, I couldn't hardly get up on it. I'd get a hold of Haynes. When I got a hold of Haynes, I'd pull to get my feet in the traces. And that darn mule, you know, go down his front feet. He used to show a lot of people that. Hey, Jimmy, go get on that Jerry. They go get on Jerry. And I'd go out there and I'd get a hold of Haynes first. And I start pulling. I'm pulling to get my foot up. And I get my foot up. And that mule would get right down on his front knees like this. I never had a mule to do. That darn mule must know they couldn't get on it.
Wow.
Ain't that something? Happened. I never forget that along.
That there guy he was talking about.
What's that? Daly?
No, that.
John Peer?
That Slaughter, or what did you say his name was?
Slaughter.
Salty?
Salty Black.
Salty Black. Yeah.
Did he run a hacky boat?
No, company boat. Company. He had a company boat. His boy run a company boat, so he had a boy, too. Joey or some such a name. He run, too. They both run, but see, he mostly, me and him used to be friends together, and we'd run together. And when we meet, especially if we both got sent to the same town, you know. You didn't get sent to the same town, only Bristol. But the most of the coal yard, they send one at a time to. But they couldn't handle two boats. And they couldn't keep a boat there too long because they had to pay the marriage, what do you call that? For the boat laying there too long. Pay for it so much longer. They'll give them 8 hours to get that boat unloaded and let him go back. Stayed over that, they had to pay. That's the way they did on the Delaware. I don't know how they did on the Lehigh.
Did you ever unload a boat yourself?
Yes. Well, then they got bigger. Well, lots of people. John Free, lots of times he had get jobs. He had two, three boats running. He'd go to work telling me to help unload. Well, I used to help unload. And then a lot of these coal yard people, they had no help. And they'd say, hey, do you want a job out here? Said, get it. Me and Flora Henry's Jakey, you said, Oscar Gaddis, we'd be doing it for him down Point Pleasant. He said, who are we going to get? The other guy we had wasn't no good. I said, I know who we'd get, Jakey Henry. He'd come there with his pants rolled up here and barefoot. He'd get in there with his barefoot and unload boats with me. And he could shovel. He wouldn't let me beat him because I was young then. I could swing a scoop shovel. That's what we used. And we'd unload that boat in about... Well, we'd unload the boat in about 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours.
Where did you start, the front section or the back section?
Oh, we always start the bow first.
Bow first.
It was coming down. We'd unload the bow first, and then we'd take the stern, actually, because of the hinge boats. I don't know how. I never boated only once, a couple times on them stiff boats. I didn't like it. But them stiff boats, when they was there, they went to Bristol and changed boats. Sometimes you go down, you had to take the boats as they come. The first boat you take. The next boat, that's right. Well, sometimes some beach would get down there ahead of you, they'd get the good hinge boats and you'd have to take the stiff boat. But then you'd take it up and you'd get a load on it. Sometimes it wasn't no good, just stop the boat yard with it and leave it there and get another. That's one thing about the Lehigh Company. If you had a boat and you didn't like it, wasn't no good, they let you change it on another. And they always had another one at the boat yard, Weisport. You know.
How much they pay you for unloading the boat?
Oh, well, them days. Oh, I think I got around $10 or $12 for the whole boat.
Now, you said you boated on the Delaware and Raritan.
Yeah.
Tell me how you got over the Delaware and Raritan.
Well, we went to New Hope. I loaded it, well, one time. Well, most of the time I loaded Lammas Road Quarry. And then we come down through Lammas Road and went on down the Raritan. And when we loaded Lumberville, we'd go down and to New Hope. We'd go out the outlet. Let me go back to they had a lock there right at the river.
Right.
And you go they had a cable tucked to go
right.
across. But you couldn't go across there unless it was the right kind of water. Deep
right.
enough. Sometimes the river's low around there. Then you'd have to wait maybe a day or so. But after rain you always could get across there. That cable take you across. And I'd tell the driver, you go up there to the bridge and go across and go on across the bridge, and if you come to the railroad, you'll see the canal there, and went down the Topaz. And they would do it. And then I went down the Raritan, going to New Brunswick with the stuff.
So, this was your Lehigh boat, or was it a Raritan boat you took the stuff?
No, that was a Bernard boat. Hacky boat, I like to call it. They know it better. But Bernard was running it, but they called it a Hacky. Hacky owned the boats. He was the man who used to live Point Pleasant. He built Nice hotel with nice boats.
And you pick up the load of stone, you take all the way down. All the way to...
down to New Brunswick. They're building a pier, I think.
Did you like the Raritan Canal?
Oh, yeah. That was wide canal. Wider than... wide like some places in the Lehigh, you know? And that's what I like about it. And I had big boats come up.
How many trips did you take on the Raritan?
Oh, I went down to Raritan a lot of times. I went down to New Brunswick a lot of times. That's where I used to get go down there and hook them their crabs. Boy, that's a great crab place, New Brunswick. South Amboy, that's where I went for that.
Were there a lot of boats on the Raritan?
Yeah, they were bigger boats than we had.
Were your boats pulled by mules, or did you get hooked up to a steamboat when you were on the Raritan?
Well, we pulled them by mules. They had mules too, pulling there. See, they never wanted anything like that on the canal. Like a thing, they had tugboats on the Delaware. But the doggone little tugboats washed the bank.
Right.
See, the waves, see. So that's where the mules wouldn't do that. They'd only make a little bit of ruffle.
Did you have to pay a toll when you went on the Raritan?
Not that I didn't pay any. I don't know if anybody else did. Not that I know.
Okay. No. Did you ever go out in the river from Bristol Basin, go out in the river?
Sure, I went to South Amboy. I went to Eastern Shore, Maryland.
All right, where'd that trip start from, the Eastern Shore of Maryland?
Start from Lumber World Quarry. Big rocks up down there, they were making a pier, too.
You took it all the way down yeah, Lehigh.
We went to Philly.
Philly.
Then we go down, like we go to Philly tonight, we stayed till midnight. Get there on this morning or afternoon, you stay till midnight, and then they take it down to the canal.
C&D.
Yeah. They take you one down there with the... they take it down to Pier 8, and from Pier 8 they go on down to East of Shore Mound. That canal, that what name canal
is it? C&D, Chesapeake and Delaware.
Oh, that was a nice canal. Big locks, a lot as long as this place. Because they took big boats in there, you know,
right.
Big ships, where we was only, well, they had sometimes before of us, we'd make pull it half, but so, tugboat tuckish, you know.
Was the company tugboat picked up at Bristol, or was it...
the Bernard tugboat. They had their own tugboat.
Bernard.
Yeah, Bernard. Billy Bernard.
How many boats did they pull down at once?
Four. With going down there, but when they pulled them others out, the company boats, they took peat coal, buckwheat coal, and everything down. They take about 20 of them. Side to side.
The company boats. Where would the company unload their coal?
Pier 8, down Pier 9, Pier 10, Philadelphia.
Pier 8 and Pier 9.
Yeah.
When they stopped going out in the river?
Oh, they stopped that way before the canal stopped. I couldn't tell you what year because I don't even know it. I know they stopped it because they had a lot of boats there. When they went out down there, lots of time you go to Bristol, you had to wait to get a boat because they had no boat there to come back. But then days they changed.
Mm-hmm.
All but the hacky boats, you didn't change. Then there, when you went on the hacky boat down there to go in the river, you went with it. See, I had one sunk. I had one, they brought me through, I was loaded, topsoil on for Burlington, hot house. And the guy had a guy there tending the lot. Well, I didn't think. I thought he knowed how. It's the second lot above the basin.
Above the basin.
Head of the basin. And I went over to mine and said, the basin, that lot went by the river. When the river backed up, you had a lot of water. You wouldn't hit the minus.
It was a tide lock, sort of.
Yeah. And this thing hit that, and I didn't know it, and loosened the bottom plank. Well, I went over it, of course, with that topsoil on, it wouldn't leak so much. But when I got over there to the unloaded the soil place, the hot house, well, it was a lot of water. I thought that was funny, too, but I didn't say not. I pumped it out. Well, then it stopped because the plank, after that mud and all that stuff got in there, it didn't leak. But when I got over to Pier 8 to load soft coal, as soon as I got the soft coal in it, went down home. And I was on the boat, just going to take a rest. And I had a dog there, a nice dog, and this dog about that high. And this dog, I don't know, I heard something, heard like I heard from the bow going, goody, 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 goody. So So that's something funny. I come out of the boat and I look, my bow was going down, my ass to the stern. Excuse my language.
No problem.
The hind end of the boat was where my cab was coming up. The bow was going down like that. I said, oh boy. I run, jumped on, and I called the dog. The darn dog wouldn't come. I didn't care about what I had in the boat. But I did want the dog. The dog, I hollered so sharp at the dog, come on, get out of there. Come on, Bobby, come on. And boy, she, it was a girl dog. I called her any old name, Nellie or whatever her name was. But anyhow, she stayed in, and the boat went on down. Well, I run to tell the, went up the off where the guard was and tell them to call the tugboat. By the time the tugboat got there, the boat went down. So I'd have went down with it if I wouldn't have heard that.
The dog got down, the dog got down?
Yeah, dog. Everything was down. Dog drowned. When they brought the dog, they got a guy there to go down on hinges. See, it was a hinge boat. Hacky boat. And they went down to print it up. The diver didn't. How do you unhook that? I said, my God, you're a diver and unhook, don't know how to unhook the boat. I said, it's two levers. Here they are here. Say, here's one end, here's the other. You pull them this way. Or you can get back and pull it this way and get the other way and pull that one this way. But I said, you got to do it fast. You got to pull them both. If it's setting level, it's all right. But if it's setting like that, you got to pull them quick or you won't get the one won't on hook. That's the way you did when you're loaded. When you're loaded. If you didn't load your boat right.
Right.
When you go to on, you wouldn't know it till you go to unhinge it. You unhinge one there, you can't get the other unhinged.
Right.
And then you are in the trouble. But the way I used to do, I used to stand it on the boat. Say I stood on the bow, no matter which one I stood on. And I go this way. That went quick.
Right.
And it on hinges. That's the way they go there. And they're all right. But I've had them stuck. I had a heck of a job. Pull it back, put a tryst on it from one cleat to another, and then put a tryst, take a and tryst the rope and get her up in there and then hinge it up again. And that's the way you have to do it.
So they unhinged the boat with a diver, right?
Well, the diver got it on hinge afterwards, and then he brought one part. He couldn't bring it all up once. He had to bring one. They brought one part up.
With a crane? A big crane?
Big crane. Iced it up. I had the cabin up first, and then we got that the water run out, boy. Cold dirt and everything was running out. I could have been drowned.
I know.
That's what they said. They had to report in Bristol. Jimmy boat sunk, and he went down with it. But I happened to be. A spirit, I come, they would surprise see me. Well, there you are.
Did you ever get that boat fixed up again? Or they?
Yeah, they got it emptied. They emptied it. And they fixed it, put it together again, took it up to the someplace to do away. It wasn't no good. It brought up the canal and what they were no good. But when it bottomed, then they said for me to come up the office. Well, I went up the office after some. They said, Captain Brown? Yep. And I had a lot around in the room. Do you know how that boat sunk? Yes. I said, I come all the way down from Brownsburg with that topsoil. Now, then I loaded it at night. I didn't pull out that night. I didn't pull out till the next morning. Now, I said, if that boat was no good, it would have sunk right there, right in the canal. I wouldn't have been able to pull it. And I said, went down and went all right all the way down to Bristol Lock. Now, when I went out of that lock, I said, before I laid down for whatever I'm going to do, I always gauge my boat. I had a gauge. I always gauge every hole, see how much water. That could tell you, boat boxes, you know.
Right.
Would tell you, because I always load the boat that way, so the water would run all one way. Or the bow, I'd load a little heavier. The hinges, I didn't load a little heavier in the stern, because I had to gauge marked with chalk how far I want the water to come to. See. And I said it was all right till went out of there. But I said I didn't know the bottom plank was that big. I didn't know it was the bottom plank anyhow. I didn't know what it was. But I know the slick. But when I went down on load of soil, I only had ordinary water. But I said when I went to the pier here to load, they load me. I guess by loading it, they drop it way down, like from that thing down to the boat, have a chute, you know, run it down. Maybe I sprung it more. I told them there, they said that could be. I said, like I know when we load boats and stone and coal, you have no water in when you load, and as you get loaded, you got a lot of water. So that load springs, makes everything open to you, but not enough to sink it. But that's something. And I was looking, the tide was raiding too. Good thing I got off of it. Or I'd have been not here to tell you, sir.
Is that the only time you ever had a boat sink on you?
That's the only boat ever sunk. Well, I got boat. They give me another boat. It wasn't my fault.
I know, but
the bottom plank of any lot tender, if they push a boat, no lot tender dare push a boat out before the water was down or up. Coming up, it didn't matter. Because you couldn't get it, open them gates coming up to the water would happen. But going down, you could open the gates. When the water gets lower, you can open it, and then you flush them out, and you flush them out too. They never used to dare put too much of first in the boat out of a line.
Okay.
And that's what they did.
Okay. I have another question for you. Who was in the room? What company official? Remember the names who was talking
to
you?
In the room?
Yeah, was talking
to you. Oh, Bernard, the man that owned the boat.
Bernard was talking to
you.
Him
and the secretary. Right?
Gotcha.
Yeah, but they want to hear what my story was.
And you told the right story, so they didn't give you any more
trouble. I told the right story, and they could follow it up.
Okay.
See? I come all the way from Brownsburg. That's right below Newport. There's where I load the topsail. And I come on, and I didn't pull out. So they asked me, did you pull out as soon as you got loaded? I said, no, I took the time. I wasn't in a hurry. I didn't pull out the next morning. And I said, went down all the way to Bristol. And that boat was going to sunk. It had sunk before I got to Bristol. I didn't hit nothing. And you could see the front of the boat was all right. But it was on this bottom plank. It was knocked down, pulled down that one, and that let the water. Just enough for the water to come in.
Howard, do you have anything you want to ask? Sure, anytime you want to ask anything, just let me, you know, I'm just fascinated, you know, I'm just learning more and more and more.
What do you, he's a Lehigh boatman, he don't know no.
Oh, he's a Delaware man, he knows.
No, he ain't. Where did you ever boat on the Delaware? I never seen him on the Delaware.
Well, I lived on the Delaware, I boated on the Delaware.
Where did you live on the Delaware?
In Bridgeton.
Oh, you boated out of Bridgeton? I thought you boated out of New Hope. Well, then you ain't no Lehigh boat. You're a Delaware boat.
Yeah, I ain't no Dutch Lehigh Dutchman.
Well, I thought you the Lehigh man.
That's what I told the Greer boy. You're Lehigh Dutchman.
Oh, boy, that was something. But a lot of them I get mixed up. I forget where to boat from, see? I forget them because that's a long while ago since I ain't seen these fellas since I was a kid.
All right, I got some more questions to ask you if I can. You told me one time, last time I was down here, that you hit a boat, it was a work boat, and sank it someplace.
Oh, yes, that was a carpenter boat, below New Hope.
How'd that happen?
Well, Toot Dray, and me was running up, coming up together from Bristol, wherever he comes from with a boat. I had a hacky boat and he had a company boat. He boat was a company boat. I mean, a Lehigh Cove boat. And company boat. Well, then we come up and took Dre. Charlie Morrell was working with him, driving for him.
Oh, God.
You know Charlie Morrell?
Yeah, he's in prison now.
Well, that's where the other keep him. And he wouldn't have nothing to do with
him. I know.
Wait, no, sir.
That's a good place
and
for
he him. Went to work and there's started stoning day. Me. Him and Toot got drunk up in the 9 mile, up in the right below New Hope with the houseboat over there on going to do some work on the mud ditch. So they laying in the houseboat. It was 9, 10 o'clock at night. They start throwing me. What could I do? I'd run up and down steering the boat from, I had a long handle tiller. And I steering the boat. And they kept hitting the tiller and hitting the bunk. So I run down. The boat got the best of me. I had soft coal on mine.
They were stoning you, right?
Yeah, and then when I went hit the houseboat and sunk it.
Ooh.
Well, then I went up, I got out, got it straightened out, because I had no driver. They were supposed to be helping me. And I went up there and unloaded their New Hope paper mill. Then I went up to the office again, and I told them what happened. And they went after him. I don't know if they ever got him.
He was nasty.
Oh, he was no good. He voted with me, and I didn't like him.
He tried
I
around.
Kicked his behind off.
He's the one that supposedly robbed Jakey Kessler that one time.
Yeah, he was the one. And he blowed stuff off and started to get on my boat and they blame us. They stopped that. Well, we went to Easton with a load. And they come on my boat Easton and try to find something. It's what he didn't blow some stuff on my boat, but he floated in the canal. He didn't float on the boat. But I didn't know he was there. I was down in the boat sleeping. I didn't know he was around there. He was no good, that fellow. And I didn't like him. He knew it. Jimmy, I knowed his father. He had a hell of a nice father.
But he was no good.
Huh?
He was no good, Charlie Morrell.
I know.
He shot somebody, didn't he, Howard?
That's what I heard he did.
He shot somebody through a window or something with a shotgun or something?
Yeah, that's what they claim. Up there in Lehigh somewhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lloyd, he said
he's... Shot him through the window.
Shot him through the window. Lloyd, he says he's the worst actor ever met in his entire life.
Yeah. But I would get a hold of... I went out on the towpath after him once. I run the boat along the towpath before I got there and went after him, but I come back on the boat again. Because I always had a rope tied on the side of my boat. Mm-hmm. All I had to, the stern end, you know. All I had to do, grab a hold of that boat, swing over to the side myself. Oh, I was like a little squirrel over the boat. That's when I got the boat, because I could do anything. Get on, get off.
Did you ever have any trouble with your mules?
No, I never had no trouble with my mules so far. The mules, every mules I get was well broken. There wasn't no green ones. When you have green ones, you do. I only had trouble with one mule, and that was a gray one. It had two of them. It was two of them, but I didn't have them. Another fella had them. He got drunk and went in between them in the stable, and they squished him to death. Because he didn't say nothing. Just went there and drunk and staggered. He just, I always, when I went to a mule or going to a mule, I'll get over it. Get up. And I get that. This mules didn't know it, and they got scared. So I bought this other mule for $40. One wanted to sell it. The gray, the one didn't kill. The one killed, they'd done away. Nobody would want that. So this one was all right. Only she would, when she's eating or run anything or any strangers come around, she'd go after you with the mouth open.
Bite you?
Yeah, like she's going to bite you, but she'd turn off on you. But if you keep going, she'd come right at you. And then she'd kind of shy off on you. But everybody's afraid, but the driver and me got along with her all right.
Did you run on the block most of the time, or did you ever run the traces?
Around the block.
You ran the block all the time.
Oh, Napoleon, you mean?
Yeah, you ran the pulley block.
Yeah, most of the time. I didn't like traces. You take a pulley block, mules done, they both do the same.
Okay.
See, they go this way. One mule put on traces, the leader can bum, and the high mule does all the work to keep up to it. So we, that's when they figured that block. That block was a good thing, whoever made that.
That's what I try to tell him.
What? When,
put his mules on the pulley block when he pulls that boat up there for rides.
Right.
He's got them on stretchers, and the shafter does all the work.
Yeah.
And the leader just bums along.
Yeah. Leader.
He's like me. He bums.
Yeah. He bums along because the other guys don't unless you're out. Then you can see because the traces will be flat.
Yeah, and but them boys and girls up there don't understand that.
I know they
they're
don't.
City people.
I know they don't understand.
They're a young generation.
Yeah, right. They don't understand that.
They don't
the
understand.
One mule does all the work.
Yeah.
And you can take, you can look at a lead mule on traces. They always look better than the hind. Because it ain't doing nothing.
Right.
It's eating and ain't doing nothing. Where the hind mule got to do, and they always put the biggest mule behind. We never put the big mule on lead. We always made a leader out of have the little mule.
Smallest mule.
A leader, and the big mule on the back. And then we put a pulley on them, and you tie the mule up to the trace, and put a not too long a trace, not like a short trace, short hooker, I mean. And he can only go so far. Some of them just have the mule go way up double sided the other mule. That's,
well, now.
You're supposed to have it just so he comes to the pine end of the other mule, just so he can come up like that. But when he come way up the side of the other mule, that's no good because he's trying to get ahead of the other mule.
Well, now I try to tell them girls up there that runs them mules up there, they don't even have a snap on that hind mule. She'll go way up past the leader sometimes. But some of these days, one of them's going to go throw the other one in the canal.
In the canal.
Yeah.
I try to tell them to put a strap on them, but you can't tell them.
Well, you take a snap, you take a rope. Cut how long we want it. Maybe we only want that long.
Yeah, 16 inches.
We put a loop in there, we splice them, then snaps them. Then you can unhook it easy. You easy unhook one mule, you can unhook it and let it on, or you can unhook it from the hind mule and let it take it off. But it's better, and you got to watch taking the mules up the canal like that. If one is slow, the other no it works.
Right. Ever happened to you? Did you ever have mules go in the canal?
I had them to go. You know what I used to do? I used to push the mule like this. The hind mule, see?
Right.
So to make him know what it is, and the bank giveaway, and oh, he'd go, oh, he'd go. And then I'd go again that way, just lean against him. Not tons of you to push him over, but just so his hind foot would get over where the dirt was
right.
Loose. And that mule knowed that. He'd work like anything to get out of that. But that's where with the traces, there's where he's always back. He's a lot of slowing mower boy with the traces because right. He can't get ahead.
Right.
Only way he can get ahead is walk up, try to beat the other mule, and then the other mule just doing nothing. But a pulley block, as you say, is really the best.
When you boated, do you like Lehigh better or the Delaware better?
Delaware.
Why?
I'll tell you why. Delaware had longer legs, longer
levels.
Where the Lehigh's out of one line, you're just doing that all the time. You got to be with your music a lot. You can't let your music go. That line's got to be either slow it off the boat or slow it off or hook it off the mule. Where we used to, I used to get up on the bridge and do this, dropping on the boat.
Oh, we did the same
thing. The boat come up, and then I'd get the line again when the boat is in the lock, and stretch up, ready to, as soon as that fall gate starts going up. As soon as the fall gate drops, I'd be ready to pull out.
Right.
See?
How long would it take you to lock through, usually?
Not long. A big lock, it would take about 15 to 20 minutes. Single lock wouldn't take long. Well, unless you shoot bull, but you'd go out on work. That lot tend to go on work, you'd go out on so. A single lot, you can go like that.
Okay.
Double lot, you got to wait till that's filled up.
Well, there are the only double locks in the Delaware lock. Groundhog's double
groundhog,
lock.
Groundhog. Lifttown, groundhog.
Head of the six.
Head of the six.
And all of them, Newhook, the double locks.
Newhook, right.
And all the Newhook.
Jake Henry's a double lock, Smithtown.
Right.
Yeah, Jake Henry is a double lock. You know, I always thought, I did to the day, I always thought you were the Lehigh boy. I got you wrong. Sorry. Thank you, pardon.
Did most of the Lehigh men speak Dutch, Pennsylvania Dutch?
Well, most of Lehigh did. Sometimes you get one on the Lehigh, on the Delaware, spoke Pennsylvania Dutch.
Could you speak any Pennsylvania Dutch? Did you ever learn any of it from?
Well, I was good at it until I left. After I got married, well, my wife, got off the Lehigh and got running around. Then I met my wife. Of course, her father could talk any kind of language. Dutch, German, and but I learned a lot.
One thing,
I could cuss in Dutch, any Dutch. But to keep the good words, only thing I know in them is "Begay tolewa, so simply good," they'd say. I'd say "Kumrai," and like that. That means come, and regates, that's how are you, and all said stuff like that, but swearing, boy, I learned that.
So
and the Dumerais, they didn't call them mules, they call them Dumerais.
So most of the Lehigh men spoke Dutch then, most of the Lehigh men?
Most, well, you could tell Lehigh boatmen, because they would, so they sound like Dutch, you know. Yeah, yeah, go ahead. Them women, most of the women tend a lot of them a lot. And here comes Jimmy, we got Jimmy. Oh, it's a so-so. And that's where we go, and I go. Some would try to flirt with some of them, I never followed.
I know we was up there to shoot one time, had the boat in the yard. And
that's at Laurie's now.
Yeah, at Laurie's. And the guys in the boat yard wanted us to move, and they talked to us in Dutch. And we sat right still. Pretty soon they said in English so you can understand it. You understand Dutch? No. Well, he said that one guy asked you to move.
We had an Irish fella I voted with. Oh, he said, oh, it's nice to get up in the morning, but it's better like the other day. Round the 3 to 4 to 5 o'clock when the sun begins to rise. Oh, it's nice to get up in the morning, but it's better like still than then. That fella was happy.
What's that guy's name?
Yes?
What was that guy's name?
Pat Heron, his name was. He was Irish. Patty's Pig. He's from down country, down Jersey.
Did you have a lot of songs in the canal, do you remember?
Huh?
Do you remember a lot of the songs from the canal?
Oh, no. I know a lot of them, but you know, they're going, that's all. Oh, boy.
Did you, a lot of people sing songs on the canal a lot?
Oh, they did. They sung songs, but... I just can't recollect some of them right now.
like John Winters, Bill Winters, they say, Jimmy Brown, hey, what's your name? I say, Jimmy Brown Hills, Jimmy Black. Well, I said, I don't care if I'm black, green, or whatever. I said, I know a white fella named Gary Black from Point Pleasant, hot black, and they was white. So I said, what's the difference? But they said they'd make me mad. They didn't make me mad. They'd say, another fella say, oh, Jimmy, where'd you come from? I say, oh, I don't know. They said, crow shit you fly. No, said them I guess, but I never get mad. They said, how is it you don't get mad at what the people say to you? I just stick some stones and break your bones, but names are never
heard. You know what I'd tell them?
That's right.
I'd say, hi, give us something.
Yeah.